Kara, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning.
Great to be with you.
So the book description, it kind of sums it up. You were living your life in New York, running through Central Park, lost sensation in your legs, and 2 days later were diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Did you know at that moment that that really was going to be such a life-changing moment?
I think I knew that something very significant had happened when I was in the park and lost sensation of my legs. But it was only when the doctor asked me the question whether I lived in an apartment with stairs, as I was lying in my little hospital trolley bed in Washington Heights, that I really understood the extent of it. And I thought, because my father had grown, I'd grown up with a father who was 95% paralyzed, and so I knew what it meant when you asked a question about stairs. And then it really dawned on me what they were actually telling me was that I could be facing a life in a wheelchair. And that was pretty terrifying.
And you mentioned your father there as well. I know that he was a really, really vital part of dealing with this experience. Could you tell us a bit about him?
Yeah. So at 20 years old, my father was in the Navy and he was struck down by a fever and they didn't really know what it was, but he thought he was getting better. And he made a mistake, and anyway, he found himself the next day in an iron lung, and where he stayed for a year, and he was paralyzed 95%, as I said, from polio, and he was in a wheelchair, but he lived a very, very big and bold and determined life, and he was a force for change in the way that we thought about disability, because this was in the 1950s when he was diagnosed, when he got sick. And, you know, he was told that he, you know, would end up in the home for incurables and that there was no place in society for him. And he really fought to be heard as a person with a disability and fought for the idea that to change people's minds about the way that they thought about people with disabilities, that they could be vital and important members and contributors to society, whereas in the past it's just been that they were going to be, you know, taking from the system and not contributing. And he was a force for changing those perceptions over time. And we've still got a long way to go, but it is very different now to what it used to be.
And MS being a progressive condition, I think when we do hear about it, the first signs tend to be things, I think, like vision problems or feeling a bit dizzy. Your experience, I think, was quite a bit more dramatic than some of the first indications that we do hear about. Is that, you know, common, do you think, or is that a bit of a misconception about MS?
I don't know. Many of your listeners may have seen the wonderful actress Selma Blair come out on the red carpet at the Oscars this year and announce that she had multiple sclerosis. And then she did an interview on ABC America where she talked about MS being a snowflake disease. And that was a term that I had never heard before until Selma said it. And it struck very true for me, because the thing with MS is it's totally different from everybody else. I knew that something was wrong with me because I had problems with my vision. I had some tingling and numbness in my fingers, but none of it added up. I went and saw doctors and none of it added up into anything until the day when I was running in Central Park. And even then, you know, I was not fully, absolutely, categorically diagnosed until about 3 months later. MS is often a disease where they rule out other diseases to come to a definitive diagnosis of MS. It's really about ruling out other possibilities. It's very hard to diagnose, you know, absolutely clearly, and everybody is different. So my presentation was very different, and for a while they thought it could be other things, and they kept coming back to MS, and I was holding on to it being other things. So it's all to say it's very, very different for everybody. And a lot of people have, you know, even how I present now is very different to a lot of other people with MS who have, you know, wildly different presentations. And Selma Blair, you know, I was very jealous of her when I saw her on TV because she could wear high heels. And I can't wear high heels because I would fall over in a heartbeat. But then she had a terrible speech. You know, she was struggling with her speech, and I don't have so much problem with my speech. So it's different for everybody, and that's what's you know, can be quite frightening about it because you don't have a clear understanding of what your future looks like. And sometimes that's good because you think, well, it could be anything. And sometimes you think, well, I just knew what I was dealing with and what this was going to play out like.
And you've written a book. It's called Diving Into Glass. What was the decision behind tackling a book?
I think the book started, I really wanted to tell my father's story because it was such an unusual story. You know, he met my mother when he was in the iron lung, and then he had two children, despite being 95% paralyzed, and then he met another woman and he married her and had two more children. And his life is just was an extraordinary example of resilience and pluck, I would say. and then I also wanted to tell what it was like to grow up with that experience of a father who was 95% paralyzed, because it's a very different childhood that you have when your father can't pick you up, can't do all of those normal things that, you know, parents do. And I wanted to talk about that and that from a child's perspective. So I told that story. And there are a lot of funny things that happen when you have a father who's in a wheelchair. There's a lot of difficult things too, but there's a lot of funny things. And then when my own diagnosis, when I got sick, you know, I thought, wow, this really changes this story, because it's now our lives are even more entwined. And my father had always said to me that he was my fall guy, and that I could, you know, go along in life, comfort in the knowledge that nothing physical would ever, you know, strike me down, because he'd taken a karmic hit big enough for our whole family. And so, you know, I wanted to explore what it was like. I had blind faith that that's how my life would pan out, that my father's, you know, his declaration that I would be okay, and what it meant to me when I realized that, you know, no parent, no matter how loving or how caring or how dedicated, can really protect you from those things. And, you know, and my own feelings about it being very unfair that this happened twice in a family, and all of those things. So that was, and I realized that I needed to tell that story alongside my father's story. So then I came into the picture.
Oh, just before I let you go, you're up at Sydney Writers Festival on the 3rd of May. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, I'm thrilled. So I used to be the artistic director of Sydney Writers Festival. So it's going to be very interesting to be there as a guest and to be speaking about my book. Normally I'm the one behind the scenes doing these things. So I'm very excited to be there, and I'm speaking with wonderful Susan Windham, and we're going to be having a conversation about the book and about, you know, probably also about my experiences at Sydney Writers Festival and what it feels like to be there as a guest. So I'm really excited to be there. It's a great honour and privilege, and it'll be a lot of fun, I think.
Caro, we really appreciate you speaking to us this morning. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Take care.